Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. The last few weeks we've been in Matthew chapter 6, and so we're just going to turn the page over or look on the other side of the page to Matthew chapter 7. I think of that song we just sung about how we want to draw near, or help me to draw near, and you think about the Lord in that and how we have a God who is personal to us. I think oftentimes we can think that God is an infinite being, and because He's infinite and He is up there, if that makes sense, that He cannot necessarily draw near to us. But the Lord draws near to those who love Him, to those He loves. And because of that, we're able to read and we're able to appreciate and able to know that what Matthew 7, 7 through 13 or 11 here teaches us is good and true. And so join me in reading Matthew 7, 7 through 11. In verse 1, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, this morning as we come to Your Word and we come to the preaching of Your Word, God, we just pray that You will clear our minds of all distractions, Lord, and You will help us to focus on Your Word this morning, Lord. Help us to learn and receive, and for our hearts and our minds to be able to understand and know what You are teaching us here from Matthew 7 today, Lord. God, we just thank You so much once again for Jesus, and because of Jesus, how much we can come to Him and we can ask You, Lord. God, we just pray all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. The question, does God answer prayers? We often ask this, don't we? Does God answer prayers? Over the last 3 weeks, we've been learning about prayer and how we should pray, what we should pray in regards to who God is and even for ourselves. But does God actually answer these prayers when we come to Him? We ask Him for our daily needs. We ask Him for forgiveness. We ask Him to deliver us from sins and from temptation. But does God really answer those prayers? We often pray for things, and sometimes we get those things that we are praying for, and sometimes we don't, right? Our world is riddled with sickness and cancer and disease and so many other things, and so often we pray for those who are sick and hurting, and sometimes they are healed and sometimes they are not. Or maybe you prayed for the Lord to give you a child and a child was given, or maybe not. Maybe you prayed for the Lord to give you a house to purchase and maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. Maybe you prayed for a spouse, prayed for the salvation of a family member or a friend, prayed for this, prayed for that, and sometimes those prayers are answered and sometimes it seems as if they're not. And when those prayers that go unanswered or not yet answered, we tend to ask the question, does God answer prayers. We begin to doubt. And the clear answer that we see from God's Word is that, yes, yes, the Lord answers prayers. We see throughout the whole Bible of God responding to man's prayers and answering them. Abraham praying for his son or his nephew Lot in the city of Sodom. Lord, if you will spare 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. And then the Lord doesn't spare the city, but guess who He spares? He spares Abraham's nephew Lot. We see Moses interceding on behalf of the people of Israel over and over and over. And what does the Lord do? He answers the prayers of Moses. And throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we see so many times where people come to the Lord and they pray to Him. And God responds. God answers. My purpose today in preaching to you from Matthew 7, 7 through 11, is that you will know that the Lord gives good gifts to those who ask. The Lord gives good gifts to those who ask. Now, this statement does come with some qualifiers, you could say, and we will talk about those as we make our way through, but the point still stands. The Lord, the Father, He gives good gifts to those who ask. And today we're just going to kind of look at two focuses from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And the first focus that we see here is that we should ask the Father like a child. Ask the Father like a child. If you look at verse 9, Jesus says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone?" And then in verse 10, he goes on. It's not there, Tucker, so don't look for it. But if you go to verse 10, you see, if he asks for a fish and give him a serpent, no, the Father is going to give their son good gifts. Jesus is comparing us asking our heavenly Father to a child asking their earthly father for something. We actually see this throughout the Gospels when Jesus speaks of how we should be like little children. Now, I take no credit for this because I read this in a book on praying called A Praying Life by Paul Miller, and it's been such a helpful book, and I can't not give him credit for what he has taught me. And I encourage you, if you are interested in reading and learning more about prayer, to go and get his book, A Praying Life, and read it. But he goes on in this book and he points out these different times in the gospel where Jesus talks about kids and how we should be like kids. We should be like children. In Mark chapter 10, verse 14 through 15, Jesus is sitting there and he's standing there. And when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And then he goes on in verse 15, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." In Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 6, the disciples are arguing over who is the greatest. Isn't that what kids do? I'm greater than you, right? But they're arguing over who is the greatest. And Jesus picks up a child, he holds him up, and he puts him in front of the disciples and says in verse 3, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now we think of these verses in response to salvation, and they most certainly are in response to salvation. If we want to be saved, then we must place our faith and trust in Jesus like a child does a parent, right? They have faith without question. They have trust without doubt. In church, I agree with Paul Miller when he says we should come to the Father in heaven in prayer like a child. Just as a child comes to parents without pretense, without fixing themselves up, right? How often do we think, "I got to get myself together before I can come to the Lord in prayer"? A child doesn't do that. They just come to the Lord in prayer. They just come to their parents in prayer, and they just come to their parents and talk to them, right? There we go. They don't care what they look like. They don't care how bad they've been or how good they've been. No, they just go. They don't fix themselves up. They aren't trying to be something they aren't. We should come to the Father just as we are. Just as we are. And if there is one thing I'm certain of as a parent of a 3-year-old daughter, she loves to ask for things. I think most of us have had kids or had grandkids or had nephews and nieces, but whenever you're with them, they love to ask for stuff. Can I have this? Can I have that? Will you play with me? Can we go do this? Can we go outside? Can we do this? You go to the grocery store, they ask for this food and that food. They go to Target and they ask for toys. You go to the clothes store and they ask for clothes. At home, you ask for food, for water, for whatever it is, right? A child just simply does one thing. They ask a lot of questions because they want something. They desire stuff. Children will ask for anything. And Jesus is teaching us right here in Matthew chapter 7, specifically verse 7, and you put it up there for me, Tucker, to ask, seek, and knock. To be like a child and just simply ask the Father. To simply seek the Father. To just simply knock on the Father's door. But so often we don't, do we? We are afraid to ask, is this too selfish of me to ask for this? Am I being demanding when I ask for this or for that? Does God really care about me asking Him for something? He's got a lot of other people to worry about. Does He really even think about what I want or what I want to ask Him about? I can go get this on my own. Do I really need to ask the Father for it? Right? All these questions drive us to do one thing, not ask the Father for anything at all. In church, when we don't ask the Father, we are disobeying Jesus' teaching right here. This command to ask and seek and knock. As a matter of fact, we see in other places Jesus saying something very similar, even more powerful, you could say, than what we see here in Matthew chapter 7. But listen to John 14, 13 through 14. Jesus is there and He says, "Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it." And you go on, John 15, 7. "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done to you." In verse 16 of chapter 15, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give it to you." And you go on in another chapter, or later on in chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, "And in that day you will ask nothing of Me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you." And then in verse 24, "Until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Church, I think it is clear. We must come to the Father and bring our askes to Him. We should bring our petitions to Him. Just as a child comes to a parent and asks for whatever it is on their tiny little hearts, we should come to the Father and ask Him whatever it is that is on our hearts. Now, Pastor, this is starting to sound like a genie in a bottle. I just rub it a little bit, out pops the genie, and I can ask Him anything that I want, and I'm going to get it. Right? I rub the bottle and I make a request and bam, I got a brand new truck, a brand new boat, a brand new set of golf clothes, a lake house, $1 million, maybe a few $1 million, right? Perfect health. That's what this is starting to sound like. Can I just make any request? But church, we know this isn't true. We know that the Father's no genie in a bottle, right? We know that He doesn't give us everything that we ask for because, for one, we don't have those things, do we? How many of you have asked for something and you didn't get it? And this begs the question, are we really supposed to just ask for anything and everything and then the Lord decides what's good and what's not? This makes me feel even more selfish, Pastor. I don't think I'll ask for anything at all. And whatever it is just whatever it is. It'll just be. I mean, some of you may be thinking, well, if Jesus said it, then can't I just demand it? Can't I just name it and claim it, as some people like to say? Just selfishly demand it from the Father? Jesus' statements here are kind of putting us in a little bit of a dilemma, isn't it? So what are we to do? I think James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 can help us understand this a little bit more. Help us bring clarity to what Jesus is teaching. It is actually widely considered that the book of James is kind of like a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 7, Jesus is given this Sermon on the Mount here. And so James is quite remembering what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7. But in James, in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fight among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you?" And then here it comes in verse 2. "You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." And then in verse 3, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions." James is addressing the very questions we have. How do we come to the Father and we not ask for anything because we don't want to seem selfish? And then how do we come to the Father and not come to Him with selfish attitude or demanding? He basically says there's two reasons why you don't get anything. One, you don't ask, and two, you ask selfishly. This means there must be a middle ground. You could say there's two cliffs on this side, and that's, or there's a cliff over here, don't ask, and there's a cliff over here, asking selfishly, which means there's a plateau in the middle, right? There's solid ground here that we can ask on. The answer is just simply, we come to Him and we ask the Father for the desires of our heart, but we ask them unselfishly. We come to Him with unselfishness, with not being self-centered. We ask them without selfish desires. We ask them without demanding. We ask them because we know He is a good, good Father. We ask them knowing that His will, this is the key, His will is far greater than our will. And we will humbly submit to His will and what He has for us. We ask them and we surrender. And we say, "Lord, if it be good, then You give it to me. But if it not be good, then I don't want it." We surrender to His will. Church, when we pray, may we bring our requests to the Father. May we ask Him the desires that are on our heart. May we ask Him for the things that we are passionate about. May we ask Him for whatever it is we want to ask for Him. We can ask Him for help in finding our lost pair of glasses or our lost hearing aid. We can ask Him for a better job that provides for our families. We can ask Him to heal our family members and to heal those who are sick and hurting. We can ask Him to provide a house that we can afford. We can ask Him to keep us safe as we travel. We can ask Him to help find the keys when we can't find them, for help in marriage, for help in being a better son or a better daughter or being a better parent. We can ask Him for wisdom, for guidance, for leadership. We can ask Him to save our family members, our friends, our co-workers, or whoever it may be. We can ask the Father anything. We come to the Father, and we ask Him anything we have on our heart, but we must do it with an unselfish, surrendered heart to the will of God that He has for our lives and for others. And if God gives, He gives. And if He doesn't, He doesn't. And we know that it's for our good. I don't think we ask enough. I know I don't. I don't think we ask enough. May we, like a child, come to the Father and ask Him for the desires of our heart. Godly desires. And church, I want to take this moment and I want all of us just to think for a second. I want us all as a church to just specifically ask the Lord to grow this church spiritually. That we will first and foremost be a church that seeks to give glory to God, to glorify Him, that seeks to be a spiritually healthy church. That we will pray that we will be a church that has an impact on this community here in Neely's Bend and Madison. To ask the Lord to give us boldness to share the gospel of Jesus and have gospel conversations with those around us. To ask that God would draw people to Himself and people would believe in Jesus. That God would not only grow us spiritually healthy, but would also grow this church, even numerically. Because people are hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and joining us in fellowship here at Neely's Bend. Church, if we are to be a people devoted to prayer, it means that we bring our askings to the Lord. For ourselves and for this church, may we be a people that are seeking the Father, may we be a people that are asking the Father, seeking the Father, and knocking on the Father's doors with our petitions for ourselves and for this church. And then we surrender to His will, knowing that He is a good Father and He likes to give good gifts. And this brings us to our second focus. The Father gives good gifts. Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock in verse 7. And then in verse 8 and following, He goes on to say, "For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Simply put, the Lord answers prayers. And He does so by giving good gifts. I don't think Jesus could make this statement and not mean it. I believe when Jesus said this, He clearly meant what He said, and that those who ask and those that seek and those that knock, they will receive, they will find, and the door will be opened. And I think this also goes to show that the Lord hears our prayers. Right? The Lord hears our prayers. Jesus wouldn't be able to say this if He didn't think the Father would hear our prayers. But He knows that the Father is going to hear us when we pray. I think sometimes we don't pray because we're afraid the Father won't hear us. But church, we are clearly mistaken when we think like that. God is an infinite God, an all-knowing God, and He is a personal God. He hears our prayers, and He will respond by giving good gifts. Jesus goes on and offers the comparison between an evil parent and the Father in heaven. And just so we are clear, this evil parent is just simply a sinner, right? If you want to take it and think of it a different way, the evil parent is us because we are what? Sinners, right? And if we as sinful parents, as sinners, can give good gifts to our children whenever they ask us for things, how much greater can the Father in heaven give good gifts? That's the whole point of those last few verses there in Matthew chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. We don't receive good gifts unless we ask, and the Father responds by giving good gifts. Now, this good gift may not be exactly what we asked for. Anybody ever had that happen before? I think many of us probably have, just as parents do, when their child asks them for something to eat, and then they follow it up and say, "But I want candy," right? And it's supper time, and you're like, "No, child, that's not good for you. Let me cook you a healthy meal," right? Cook a healthy meal because we care for our kids. We like to give them good gifts. The Father in heaven does the same thing for us. Often we may be praying for the Lord and asking Him to give us this or bless us with something that we are desiring, to bless us with candy, if you want to say it that way. But the Lord, the Father in His goodness, the Father in His kindness and His grace and His mercy, the Father in His knowledge and in His love says, "No, son, no, daughter, I got something better for you. I got a better good gift for you. Let me give you this greater gift." And church, when those unexpected and greater gifts come, we can either pout like a child that had to eat a happy, healthy meal instead of a piece of candy, or we can give thanks to the Lord for the blessing and the way that He responded by giving us a good gift. Sometimes our selfishness blinds us from seeing the good gifts the Father gives. Church, let us not be blinded by our selfishness in our prayers to not see the good gifts the Father gives to us. And I know that some of you are wondering right now, well, what about unanswered prayers? Pastor, I've been praying for this for years and years and years, and nothing has happened. I've been praying for healing for months. I've been praying for a family member to be saved or a friend to be saved, but the Lord hasn't saved them yet. And I just simply have three things to say about unanswered prayer, or what we may perceive are unanswered prayers. And the first is this. It's quite possible we are asking selfishly, right? It's quite possible we are coming to Him with selfish desires. As humans, we have passions, we have a will of our own, and we sometimes like to demand things. And when we come to the Lord in prayer, we like to get selfish about what we want, right? And that can very easily come out during our prayers, and the Lord may not be answering, because the good gift He's teaching you is that you're self-centered and selfish. The second thing is this. It may not just be in the Father's will for us to have what we are asking. I'm reminded of the Lord's Prayer. Just a couple weeks ago, a few weeks back. And how we are to pray for His will be done. Even in our asking, we should be reminded that whatever the will of God is, this is what it is. God is an unchangeable God. His will is unchangeable, and that we just must be willing to surrender to the will of the Father. I think of Jesus Himself, who had to surrender to the Father's will. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, whenever He's there and He's praying, and He prays in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, "My Father, if it be possible..." You hear Jesus asking, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Jesus was asking the Father to remove the cup from Him, but Jesus was also surrendering at the same time to the will of the Father. I believe this is the same exact pattern that we should have in our prayers when we come to the Lord and we ask Him, "My Father, is this something that we can have, or that I can have? Lord, I want to ask You for this, but Lord, only as You will." Thirdly, and honestly, it kind of falls into the second one there, the last one. It may be that the story isn't finished yet. The story isn't done yet. It may be that the very thing you were asking for, it's not quite time for you to receive it. It's not quite time for the Lord to give it to you. And it doesn't mean that you stop praying or you stop asking. I think it just means that we keep being persistent in our prayers and persistent in our asking, as the widow in Luke chapter 18 teaches, or as the parable of the widow in Luke chapter 18. Jesus is teaching this parable of a widow that goes to the judge and just keeps on and on and on and on asking for justice. Every single day she goes and she goes and she goes. And the judge is finally like, "I can't bear it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to give you justice." And then what Jesus is saying here, he goes on to say, if an unrighteous judge gives justice due to persistence, will not God give justice to those who cry out to Him day and night? May we be persistent in our asking of the Lord as we seek to continue to live in the story God has for us, and we patiently wait for Him to respond to our prayers by giving us good gifts. Church, I am thankful today that we have a God who loves us and cares for us in such a way that He gives good gifts. May we be diligent in asking, seeking, and knocking, and looking forward to the Father giving good gifts. And may we keep our eyes open for Him. Church, as we come to a conclusion here, the Lord reminded me of something that I heard over the years, and it's just simply this. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. We often think that whenever I pray, I'm going to change what the Father's plans are. I'm going to change what God has in store for us because I think this is better or that is better. But what's really happening is the Lord is changing us by the way we pray to Him. Our prayers can't change God, can't change His will. But you know who they will change? Us. They will change us. Our prayers are teaching us that we have to humble ourselves. Our prayers are teaching us that we have to submit to the Father's plan. Our prayers are teaching us that we can't be selfish. Our prayers are teaching us that I am not this great being. I cannot do anything on my own. Our prayers are teaching us that we are helpless. Now, we are hopeless. But we have someone who is our great helper. And that we have someone who is our great hope. And that is Jesus Christ. So when we come to the Lord in prayer, know that these prayers, they're changing us more than we realize. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You right now, Lord, and we're just so grateful for Your passage here that You've given us in Matthew chapter 7:7-11. In other places throughout the New Testament, Lord, of how You teach us that we're able to come to You and ask, Lord. Ask anything in the Father's or in the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray today that we will be a people who will come to You with unselfish hearts, and we will ask and surrender to what You have planned for us, Lord. Because we know that You are going to give us a good gift. And may we trust, Lord, that the good gift You are giving, if we receive it, that is the good gift. If we don't receive it, that's the good gift too. God, we thank You this morning for Your Son Jesus and how He paid the price for our sins and our salvation. Because without Him, we cannot bring these petitions to You, Lord. Without Him, we cannot bring these asks to You, Lord. We can't seek You, Lord. We can't knock on Your door. So, Lord, may we give thanks to Jesus Christ. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.